hope that we can cover some things this afternoon that will be of help to you, practical use, things that you can do in your own homes, things that are simple to do. For the most part, they require no special training. I simply need to tell you. In fact, most of the time, I can even tell people what to do on the telephone, and they have no problem understanding exactly how to proceed. First thing I'd like to do is to tell you a few other things that we should have in our home remedies kit. And this is one, an ice pack. The reason for that, you can simply use a Ziploc bag and double bag it, and you'll have no problem with it most of the time. Sometimes they leak a little bit, but they always require a small towel around them anyway because they don't feel real comfortable directly on the skin. So you need a small face towel or something like a dish towel. And this can be kept in your kit as well. And so when you need such a thing, it's all ready. Now, some people use this on the head, and some people can successfully do so. There are other people that if you put ice to the head, they're going to have a serious problem with a headache because they get a cold headache. Some people have an ice cream headache. They eat ice cream, get a headache. And these same kinds of people will usually also have a headache if you put ice on the head. But most people can tolerate ice on the head quite well. Now here is another thing that's very good. These are blue ice packs which you put in your freezer, and the same thing, this one has been frozen and it does need a little towel around it, but it can go on the skin as well, or on the crick in the neck, or painful menstruation. It can go to the back, or it can go to the low abdomen, and it's good for painful menstruation. And then, of course, this is not gender specific, but you may need something like this, and that can also be kept in your kit. This keeps the finger from bending. So if somebody has a laceration and you put a little butterfly on it or something, and you don't want the finger to move, then you need to immobilize it with something like this. And they're very nice, and you can these stretch to fit. They can be opened out for a large finger or pressed down for a small finger and kept on by this Velcro. So it's very nice. Finger splint. I was about to say finger cot. That's a little a finger cot is also very good. I didn't bring one, but it's a little roll-on glove for a finger. And the same kind of thing, if you put this on and you roll a glove on that, that's good. Or you put the little finger cot on first and then put the finger splint on. And it's very good to keep a finger immobilized. Now, I taught you yesterday how to fix the skin for anybody who is lacerated. You can simply fix the skin with tape. And you can do this. Indeed, you can. You can do this. But when you do it, decide that you're not going to take the person to the doctor. Because if you do it, and then 2 days later you decide that you really think you ought to take the person in to make sure everything is all right, the doctor won't be able to do anything except look at it. Yep, it's healing, or it's not healing. One or the other, because he won't be able to stitch it at that time. If it's more than about 6 hours old, most doctors won't stitch after that. So go ahead and do the first aid and then trust that you're right. If it gets an infection in it, treat an infection. How do you treat an infection?
Hot and cold.
Hot and cold. That's right. Contrast bath. So if you have get an infection and a wound, all is not lost. Just start the very instant that you understand you've got an infection there. And that's always true. When you first realize that you've got a problem, that's the most favorable time for you to treat with natural remedies. That's the first indication that you've got a problem. Don't wait until the disease has you in its clutches before you decide that you're going to do some kind of work with it. Now, another thing that I like a lot is clove oil. This is an essential oil. It's not a fragrance oil. So get essential oils when you're using them medicinally, unless you just want some to go in a mineral oil and alcohol mix for a massage oil, and you just want a little fragrance in it. Then it's all right to use a fragrance oil. But when you're treating someone, use essential oils, not the fragrance oils. And this is clove oil. Anybody have an idea what I would use this for? Toothaches. In the middle of the night, you get a toothache. Oh, I don't know if I can wait until morning for this. Oh, if I go now, it will cost me double. That's true. Or triple or quadruple. If you get a dentist out of bed, he is not going to give you a small fee. It's going to be a pretty large fee. So you may be able to use clove oil. Take a little bit of the oil on a toothpick. Pull your lip aside and then anoint the tooth and the gum close to it. This oil is stable and you can pass it down to your grandchildren. It's not quite as stable as charcoal, but it is quite good. Just keep a tight cap on it and it should be all right. So I use it for that. Now I also, and now if you put it on and it burns, then immediately be prepared to take it off with another oil, such as castor oil or corn oil or some other kitchen oil, olive oil. Whatever you need to wipe off the oil. Because if you put the oil on there, it's going to take an oil to get it off. Alcohol will bring it off, but that will also sting or burn. So if they tell you, oh, that burns terribly, then it's, what you have is too strong to be applied directly to a mucosal surface. Same is usually true with the essential oils directly on the skin. It needs to be cut with another oil before you apply it to a sensitive part of the body. Tell you one of the best things this is good for, take any kind of salve, especially an itch salve, a salve for itching, and for every ounce, put about 20 drops of clove oil. And it is one of the best things possible for the itch. Then you can call it, your name is Sally, you can call this Sally's Anti-Itch Cream, no matter what it started out with. And Neutrogena is a very good one, and also, what is this other thing that we use a lot? Vaseline can be used, but a lot of people object, especially those who are into natural remedies, object to Vaseline. I don't think I do. I'm subject to changing my mind on that issue, but it is not absorbed through the skin. What is that? That's a perfect one. That one's good, but you don't have to have that. You can get any other Neutrogena product, and those that come in a little jar, those are among the best, so I like those very well. But I always try to have some clove oil on hand. And I didn't bring, I don't think I did, maybe I'll run across it in my things for tomorrow. I didn't bring lavender oil, but I love lavender oil. It is calming for people, and for people who have a headache, it is excellent for a headache. Simply put the fragrance in the air. Now, the fragrance oil will not do it, but lavender essential oil, that's what you want, and just get one that's good. Just be sure this one is a now product. This is sold by our health food store at in Columbus, Georgia, and that's where I got this, and I got the lavender there as well. But Young Living has very good essential oils, and many other companies have very good essential oils. So you don't have to be wedded to any one product. But I always keep lavender on hand. It's good for a number of other things. It's good for to heal skin rashes. It's good also to rub on joints for people who have tennis elbow or carpal tunnel syndrome. For those who have that, then that can be used for that as well. Just rub it on. It's very good for that. Charcoal compresses can also be very good for joint pains and aches. Okay, any question about any of those?
Yes, question.
Yes.
Does that clove oil mixture work for hives?
Does clove oil mixture work for hives? And yes, it does. Yes, it's been a lifesaver for me when I've had the hives. I really like that. For an itch, that, it's the hives. Now, there's a woman at UT Pines who makes a homemade salve. It's made out of natural oils and some essential oils, tea tree oil, and
Yes, I
mix it with Vaseline, but there are some people who don't, who they object to Vaseline, and they won't use it. So if you have such a person, then you'll want to get some Neutrogena or something for them. Yes.
Is it good for poison?
It's good for any itch. You can put it on any itch. It is slightly anesthetic. You need to understand that point. It's slightly anesthetic, and so it's very good for that. For an ounce, 20 drops. But now if that burns the skin, just dilute it out some. Now I have a book here that I like very much. Dr. Duke, who wrote this, is a friend of mine. He worked with the Department of Agriculture for 38 years as their person to investigate medicinal herbs. And he sort of specialized in Amazonian herbs. Let's see if he has anything on clove. Clove is so good. Here it is, antiseptic. It's good for treating altitude sickness. Now, that's the fragrance. It's good for bad breath. Dilute it out some with either alcohol or oil and then swish it a bit. It's good for bunions. You can rub it directly on bunions or thin it out with some kind of kitchen oil and rub it on that. Now he says it's good for macular degeneration, but of course he's got several references to pain, for toothache, and if you don't have the essential oil, that's all right. Just get from a grocery store the little clove buds and have that in your, and these are not inexpensive. Now this one's only $6.50, it's so inexpensive I'm wondering whether it really is an essential oil. Usually they cost a little bit more. Yeah, they cost a little bit more than this much for how much is this? 1 ounce. Usually a little more than $6.50 for an ounce. Now let's see what he says for macular degeneration, and we'll see if Dr. Duke is very careful. He is not prone to exaggerating the properties of the herbs. Clove oil is a powerful antioxidant, and it is that. Now, what is an antioxidant?
Clove.
Yeah, clove is an antioxidant. And what is the definition of an antioxidant? Now, don't disappoint me now. It ties up or destroys free radicals. Yay, this class is a good class. I haven't covered that since when? Monday? At any rate, free radicals accelerate the rate at which you age. And anything that we can get that will decelerate the rate at which we age is certainly nice to know about, isn't it? And this is one of those. Studies show that it helps prevent the breakdown of the retina of a substance known as decosohexanoic acid, which is a part of what makes the macula. Macula is the point in your retina where you do a sharp focus. People who get macular degeneration start by destroying this substance and depositing a mucoid-type substance in the macula. This action helps preserve vision in old age. I'd suggest adding 1 or 2 drops of oil to antioxidant mint teas. And mint is also antioxidant. And if you like a beverage tea, then lightly brew mint. Where do you get mint from? Grow it yourself, by all means. Don't put it in a place where you don't mind it being a little invasive, because it will definitely... Don't plant it in the middle of your garden. You'll be digging it up one of these days with a shovel. So put it in a place in your yard where you don't mind that it overgrows, and also where animals don't get to it. You don't want animals to roll in it or walk in it. So have it in a place where they're not likely to get there. So he suggests adding one or two drops of oil to antioxidant mint teas and enjoying up to 4 cups a day. Now that would be for macular degeneration. Someone asked me about that yesterday. Okay. So, clove oil. That's clove oil. So it's an antiseptic. What? The dosage is enough. Now, how can you figure what is enough? Well, if you're applying it on for an anti-itch, then it's enough to stop the itch, but it won't do it instantly. It's going to take about 5 or 10 minutes. It may soothe right away, but it'll take a little while, so don't be disappointed if it takes a little while to have that happen. And then if it stings, you know it's too strong. So then you add a little bit more of the diluting oil, like any kind of oil. Do not put it in the eyes. No, it's added to a tea. Now let me recommend Dr. Duke's book. It's probably my favorite herb book, and not just because I know the man, but also and his wife, who is a very nice, very fine artist. I know her also, and I like the fact that he is very scientific. There's nothing even close to putting a butcher knife under the bed to cut pain. Nothing even close to that, you know. So. James Duke. And now you can go online and get his web address, and I might give that to you too. And that's www.ars-grin.gov. He worked with the U.S. government for 38 years in the Department of Agriculture. And I really appreciate the fact that he has a good blend of folk medicine and science. He will not endorse anything that isn't quite very scientific. Okay, yes?
How do you get
macular degeneration? You mean the oil? It is put a couple of drops. Make a mint tea, and put a couple of drops in each cup of the mint tea, and take about 4 cups a day. Okay. Yes, you can. You can grind up the buds and put that in. But the active principles are very weak. So, but the strength of the irritating part may be as great, and so it may be a little more difficult to use. But with a clove bud right against a sore tooth can sometimes get you through the night when you've got a toothache or some other small point of ache. All right. Now, let's go to women's situations. And I am not absolutely wedded to what I'm going to talk about. There may be some people who will want me to talk about things that I have not planned to talk about. But at first, I would like to show you some herbs. And so if we can project now, I will show you some herbs that are used for women's diseases. And some of these you will find are surprises for you. You will have thought they were for something else, and all of a sudden you realize that they are for women's diseases too. So we'll go now and project and Villa Myers is going to project these for me. Again, I don't have the little clicker, and so I'm dependent on her. Does it work?
We'll just have to reboot this so they project and then recognize it.
Oh, okay. All right, then while she is bringing that up, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. There's a very fine treatment for painful menstruation. And I'd like to show that to you right away. So if I could get a lady who would be a volunteer for me. What about this lady right here with a white blouse on right beside the baby? Can you get up? Yeah, come on in here and get up on the table for me. And we will show this very, very simple, thing. And I think if I can. Now, if you will put your head on your arms right here, lie face down, and we may need.
I don't know that I can do that unless I can lay on. I'm pregnant. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay. Let me get someone else. All right. Do you mind being my guinea pig? All right. What we need is to, all I need to do is to give you a little bit of an anatomy and physiology lesson, and then I need to, that's good, then I need to show you how this is done. And because this table is nothing, it's not like a nice bed, you just lie just like you are, and that's all. If the young woman has pain, painful menstruation, you start, you find the waist, and you're going to be working only on the right side of the spine. So, and you stand over her like this, and it's a sort of a straight arm. Lean your weight into her back on the right side of the spine until she says, oh, I can't stand any more pressure. And then you rotate with a straight arm like this, putting as much pressure on her back as you can. And then you inch downward. And each time, it's a straight arm technique, and you rotate a little bit like this, putting as much of your weight as she can allow. Then you inch down again, and you continue to inch down until you get to the end of the spine, and when you have no more spine to massage, then you inch back upward, and you take a minimum of 4 minutes to do this, and usually only one time is required, because by the end of the four to five or six minutes, you're usually done. She tells you, I'm easy, or it's better. Okay, that's very good. Thank you. Sorry? To the right of the spine. Now, the reason for that, when I first read this in a medical journal, I don't remember now exactly where I read it, but when I first read it, I thought, oh, right of the spine, that's a little weird. Then I thought, there may be something like, there are some people who won't let you put a door to the outside of the house on the east side of the house because that might let spirits in from the east. And so in my mind, it was just a little bit like that. What is this? And then I thought, no, the outflow tracts to the pelvis from the spine, from the spinal nerves, are largely on the right, just as for the heart, the outflow tracts from the spine are largely from the left. And so, yeah, that's where they are. So that's why you do it on the right only.
So how were you doing your hands? Were you doing a third
tilt? Uh-huh, only this. I was just leaning over you, and you lean. If you can lean all your weight, that's fine, but she won't be able to tolerate all your weight, most likely. And then you simply do this, and your fingers are just relaxed. Yeah, they're not doing anything. And you just inch down the spine all the way to the end. And when you have finished that, she is often very much better, if not completely well. Now, for painful menstruation, if she knows, and a lot of women can tell their first sign, they have a little nausea, they have a little fleeting headache or some other thing, that makes it so that they know that the menstrual period is going to start in an hour or so. If she knows that, then if you will put a heating pad to the back, only, not front, but to the back. Put the heating pad there for an hour. It will probably not arrive. The painful menstruation will probably not arrive. And so that's a very good thing that you can do for painful menstruation. Another thing is that you need to know that a glass full of charcoal every 30 minutes for 4 doses will also abolish the painful menstruation in most women, especially women who simply flake out when they have their menstrual period. They're just incapacitated. If they are going to function, they're going to have some kind of painkiller. And that's one heaping tablespoon or a rounded tablespoonful of charcoal mixed in a large glass of water every 30 minutes for 4 doses. And for most women who have that kind of severe painful menstruation, that will handle things for her. Then another thing is a hot bath, and that is a hot bath. She must get in the water at a hot temperature that she does not appreciate and stay there until she is at least sweating and the pain has gone away. So those are all good things for that. Now, since they're having a little problem, then I think I'm going to go ahead and get to this a little later. But I'd like to talk with you about another woman's problem. Question here. A glass of water, a tablespoonful of charcoal in a glass of water every 30 minutes for 4 doses. Sorry? It doesn't really matter. Whatever is palatable to her. Now, often when the menstrual period starts, she's a little bit nauseated. So you may need to give it to her cold, and you may need to put a little flavoring in it, because charcoal is not all that good tasting to most people. Not that it has any taste itself, it's just that it has consistency, and you're drinking something and it ought to have some kind of taste, and it doesn't. And so the mind sort of says, why? And then it gets a little nauseated with the dose. So if you put a little something in it, like a little bit of mint oil, and stir that in. That's mint oil from the kitchen, from the spice cabinet, and or some other little bit of flavoring that can help it to go down a little better. Don't put much in it, because anything that you put in it can interfere with the activity of charcoal. Not that charcoal will take up your nutrients. It will not. Will not take up your nutrients. But if you eat and then take charcoal, what you have eaten will interfere with the action of the charcoal. So you don't want to take food with the charcoal dose. It's not going to harm your food. It's not going to take up your nutrients. It's not going to make you get malnourished. Don't worry about any of that kind of thing. But it is that if you eat, you're going to have less benefit from the charcoal. Okay, now osteoporosis. While this is not a unique problem for women, men do also have osteoporosis. You will find that most people with osteoporosis are women. Now, if this does not work, you're pressing FN and 5, doing it. Okay, all right. Now, what is osteoporosis? It is simply thinning of the bones. Well, who is prone to have it besides women? Anybody else? Young women? Older women? It's old women. Old women are more prone to have it. Now, what kind of woman? A woman who is fair-skinned, blue-eyed, freckled, tall, and thin. Now, if you don't meet that qualification, you're unlikely to get osteoporosis. Now, what is that again? Fair skin, blue eyes, freckles, tall, and thin. That's the most common person. That's you. That's me. Okay, so you look at me and you know that I'm the kind of person who is more likely to get osteoporosis. Now, the darker your skin, the less likely. The shorter you are, the less likely. The heavier you are, the less likely. Not that I recommend being overweight to prevent osteoporosis. I don't. But that just lets you know what your risks are. And it is hereditary. And largely because blue-eyed, freckled, tall, thin, that's also hereditary. Now, if you go and get a DEXA scan and you come back with a diagnosis of osteoporosis severe, well, think about yourself. Am I in the high-risk group? If not, you know what I would tell you next? Doubt the DEXA scan. I don't usually get DEXA scans. What I do is I treat all women for osteoporosis. Now, what country of the world has more osteoporosis than anybody else? Who? United States. Who drinks the most milk in the whole wide world? United States. Does milk keep people from getting osteoporosis? No. In fact, it appears to be a part of the problem. And so I take people off milk. Why? Because the calcium and phosphorus content is not the most favorable. That's number one. And number two, it is not a good food for human beings. It's a perfect food for little calves. But it is a very imperfect food for humans. Too rich in protein, and a high protein diet will also make you more susceptible to osteoporosis. Want to be sure you got that. What was that? A high protein diet does what? Makes you more susceptible to osteoporosis. That is far more important than being overweight in keeping you from getting osteoporosis. If you have a high protein diet, you cannot stay in positive calcium balance.
Are you talking about
animal protein? Any kind. It's just that on a vegan diet, it's hard to get protein toxic on a vegan diet. Easy to if you're just an ovo-lacto vegetarian, because milk and eggs are high in protein. Protein is a problem for people in the U.S. We are protein toxic. We take so much. And a part of that is part of the toxicity is expressed as osteoporosis. Okay, now let's say you do have osteoporosis. How would you know? Probably it is by a small trauma and a big fracture. Let's say you step over a log and you break your ankle. When you weren't jumping over, you merely stepped over and broke your ankle. Well, you may have osteoporosis. If you have celiac disease or gluten intolerance, you're more likely to get osteoporosis. Celiac disease in particular, because celiac disease is an intestinal absorption problem. Okay. Yes. Sorry? Was there a question? Okay, then let's go to the next thing. You know that you have it. So how can you get rid of it? Well, you have to work at it. And the first thing that you do is to become a vegan. That means no meat, milk, eggs, or cheese. That's the most favorable diet for a person who has osteoporosis. Low in fat, which robs your bones of calcium. Low in sugar, also robs your bones of calcium. And low in protein. So that's what you want. A vegan diet that anybody would have to say is helpful. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that soy. The protein in soy is a bone builder. The protein in soy is also has been recognized for the last 5 or 6 years as being an excellent healer and health-giving factor to the kidneys. And so people with diabetes would be well advised to use soybeans. Now, I do not recommend commercial soy milk, as I mentioned to you the other day, and the reason for that is that it is in other ways unhelpful. The purified protein of soy is unhelpful. So that's not what we're after when I say the protein of soy. It's not the purified protein derivative. It is the soy, it is the protein as it occurs in the soybean. And then the next thing is that soybeans have the antioxidant properties that tie up free radicals, which also damage bones. So there are many reasons why I like soy for osteoporosis. Then another thing is plenty of exercise. Now, you may say to me, but Dr. Thrash, I can't walk. I've got bad ankles or bad knees. That doesn't make any difference. You still have to exercise. So what do then? You exercise from your chair. If you're confined to a chair, you exercise from your chair. How long? Three repetitions of three different exercises? No. You're going to need about 20 minutes of exercising. So it's a workout. And it's a little more trouble to do it when you can't walk, but you can do it even so. This doesn't work. Oh, that would be good. No, no. While we're on soy. Yes, eat soybean. Soy flour is the whole soybean, but there is an oil in soy, as you know, because we have soy oil. When the bean is ground, that lets the soy oil be exposed to the air. And that causes oxidation, and oxidation is harmful to our bodies.
Nothing from soy, only soybean.
That's the best. That's the best. Now somebody's going to ask about tofu. Tofu is allowable, but it's about half good. Yes. Commercial soy milk, because most of it is available, I consider it unhelpful. I know that silk is said to be from the whole soybean, but I don't know how they make it, and I want to go by the factory and see how they make it before I endorse it. Because often I think, oh, this is wonderful. And I read on the package and it says some good things about it, and then I go to the factory and I say, oh, this is highly unhelpful. Yes. Dry soybeans, that's the way I use soybeans most of the time. I take them up and then cook them. And I soak them up and blend them raw and then pour them into a kettle and simmer them for about 20 minutes and put all sorts of flavorings in, garlic and onion, and I always put a little turmeric. I just soak soybeans overnight. Take a cup of them and put them in the blender. Cover that with about a cup of water, just about, half an inch or so that your blender will turn it well. And blend it up until it's sort of smooth, and just pour it in a kettle and simmer it. And season it up, and then I have what I call scrambled soybeans. I use garlic, onion, turmeric. That's my standard. Garlic, onion, and turmeric. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Really like it. Salt. Almond milk from the store. Is it okay?
Almond milk? I don't know. It tastes good. But why don't you just make your own? Let me tell you how to make your own. Put a cup of almonds in the blender and a cup of water, and you'll have soy butter. You'll have almond butter. Blend it up. If you put two, you'll have lemon in it, you'll have a soy spread. If you put four cups with it, you'll have an almond milk. Now, I usually make my almond milk a little richer than that, but depends on how you like. One to four, that's it. Nope, one of almonds and four of water.
And a little lemon?
If you're going to make a soy spread, that's with two. I don't know. I always look on the label. And the only one at the present time that I really allow is silk. And I'm not sure about that. So I don't use it. I don't use any commercial soy milk. I have a soy milk maker, and that's what I recommend that you do if you use a lot of soy milk. Get yourself a little soy milk maker. Soy Toy, Soy Joy, Sultan, there are a bunch of them. And you just you look online and get the cheapest one and order it and have it sent right to your house. Don't pay over $100 for it. You can get them online for under $100. Where do I get the soybeans? I grow a lot of my own, but I also buy them from the health food store. They usually have the dry soybeans.
The
edamame is my very favorite way, and I grow my own soybeans. Soy limas. Soy limas are the most tasty, but the little ones that they make the oil from, the little cream-colored ones, those are perfectly fine, and they're much cheaper. Okay, let's see. Let's go to some women's herbs.
So that's it.
Exercise. Now, exercising is a workout. And women are not so prone to like to do a workout. What's the very best exercise for a woman? By far and away, it's gardening. She will exercise every muscle. She will strengthen every bone if she goes about it in a serious manner. Now, a tiny little flower bed won't do it. Now, if you have to depend on walking, and some women do, they don't have a garden available, then get yourself a couple of weights and try to walk in a private place. And then you can go along with your weights in your hand like this, if your problem is your wrists, and then you walk fast, you walk slow, you walk uphill, you walk down, you try to climb some stairs or steps or go uphill, downhill, and because you'll exercise different muscles doing these different things. A slow walk will exercise different muscles than a fast walk.
Is it 20 minutes
every day? Every day, yes. And if you've already got osteoporosis, I'd make that twice or three times a day. An hour of exercising is not bad. Okay, the next thing is some women's herbs. And we start with, what's the first thing that you think of when you think of women's herbs? Anybody know?
Black cohosh.
Black cohosh. Black cohosh is a very good one. Blue cohosh is also very good to stimulate labor. So unless you want to cause uterine contractions, don't use blue cohosh. But it's very good for women after birth. And it's also good for women who have excessive menstrual bleeding to sort of clamp down a little bit.
What is that?
Black cohosh.
Okay, but I thought you said something else.
No, the next one I'm going to mention is red raspberry leaf. Black cohosh is first and red raspberry leaf is second. And then after that is red clover. So red raspberry, red clover. And then Damiana is good for dryness of mucous membranes, the mouth. A lot of women get dry mouth, dry eyes, dry vagina, and dry skin. And if they will use Damiana, that helps.
Is that an herb?
That's an herb.
Damiana.
Damiana. And then the next one is chaste tree. Chaste tree is very good. And Duke has a good little discussion on chaste tree. It's also called Vitex, and it's a very good herb. Cramp bark, what do you suppose that would be good for? Menstrual cramps. It's also good for men, for muscle cramps. Cramp bark. Cramp. Leg cramps. Mm-hmm. Good for leg cramps. Do not take a lot of salt if you have a lot of leg cramps. May not be due, probably is not due to a salt deficiency. That's the unusual American who is salt deficient. We are salt surplus. Cramp bark is also called black haw. You might like to know that. Now, H-A-W. Now, we also have hog haw. Do you know the hog haw? It's also hawthorn berry, or a relative of hawthorn berry. What do we use hawthorn berry for? Heart. When we think hawthorn, think heart. Hawthorn, heart. Licorice root. Now I want to teach you another one. When you think of licorice root, you think of cortisone. Licorice root, cortisone or steroids. If your doctor is giving you a steroid, instead of taking the steroid, try licorice root. L-I-C-O-R-I-C-E, licorice root. It's spelled licorice, but it's pronounced licorice in most dictionaries. Licorice root. And it's, you can use that to flavor teas. So if you have some kind of inflammatory problem, you may want to put a little licorice root powder in any tea that you take, like a peppermint, a little bit of licorice root powder. Just drink the whole thing, powder and all, and it will give you a steroidal effect. For men, it's a, you do get it in health food stores. Some groceries will carry it. Some pharmacies will carry it. Now, you can buy it already in tea. I prefer to tell you to make it yourself, because then you know exactly how it's been handled. Now, you need to get a good quality of herb, too. Herbs that have been sitting around on some grocer's shelf for the last 12 years is not going to still have any potency. It needs to be less than a year old to be the most potent. And so if it sits around for a long time, I don't buy herbs from a store that has a small turnover. Go to a store that has a rapid turnover of herbs and spices. Licorice root, of course, it's good for men and women. Any kind of hormone problem should be treated with licorice root also, whether it's thyroid, ovarian, testicular, prostate. Any of these can properly be treated with licorice root. Now, while it has a steroidal property, it's a phytosterol. Phyto means what? Plant. So it's a plant sterol. Phytosterols do not have the complications and contradictions and complications and all these kinds of things on and on and on and repeated again and again that the pharmaceuticals do. So don't think that you're going to get the steroidal properties, the pharmaceutical steroidal properties from licorice root. But you can help any kind of hormonal problem by also taking licorice root. But you need to know about licorice root that it does cause sodium retention. So in some people, not in everybody, but in some people it will cause a little sodium retention. And if they have sodium retention, they will usually have swelling of the feet and swelling of the fingers, so that they recognize they've got some sodium retention. And also they may get high blood pressure from it because of the sodium retention. So if you have hypertension, you'd want to be careful with that. Damiana, make a tea, or you can take it by tablet or capsule. As long, none of these that I have told you have toxicities, so you can take it, it's like food. You take it every day, four times. The usual dosage is 1 teaspoonful in 1 cup of water, taken 4 times a day. That's the usual dosage and schedule for any herb. Okay, the next woman's herb is saw palmetto. Do you believe that? The next herb for women is saw palmetto. Saw palmetto. Do you have the palmettos growing here?
No.
They grow a lot in South Georgia and Florida and South Alabama. And I think in South Mississippi, but I don't know if they grow around here. They don't grow around Yuchi pines either. But it's a little palm that grows like a shrub than like a tree. And they have a berry that's not very tasty, but you can make a tea from it, and it's very helpful for men's problems and women's problems. So do not feel that because it's classically a men's herb that you cannot use it. Okay, now the next are herbs for menstrual cramps.
I couldn't hear what you said about
what it would be for. It's good for, it's a woman's herb and can be used for almost any kind of problem. Hot flashes, the depression that comes with menopause, for any kind of period type problems, can be used for those. Yes. No, no. You can always mix three or more herbs without much danger of having them conflict with each other. Now, in order to... That last one was saw palmetto. Saw palmetto. You can, but you can also buy it in tinctures and tablets and capsules. So get it in the way that you like to take it, from a store that has a rapid turnover, not where it's been sitting for the last 10 years on the shelf. Okay, the next one is herbs for menstrual cramps. Every herb that I tell you can be used for menstrual cramps can also be used for muscle cramps. So if you get muscle cramps, use black haw. Use bilberry and blueberry. Use angelica. Angelica has another name, Dong Quai. Red raspberry. And ginger. Ginger has 6 pain relieving compounds in it. 6. Ginger should not be used on a daily basis as a culinary herb, but as a medicine, use it freely. Especially since it's going to keep you from getting something over the counter from a drugstore, which is toxic. Anything that you buy that comes from a pharmaceutical company is called a drug because it is poisonous. These are not poisonous for the most part. Ginger is not poisonous, and it has 6 pain-relieving compounds and 6 muscle-relaxing compounds as well. Ginger that they have in Chinatown is probably among the best because they use a lot of ginger, have a rapid turnover. Yes?
Do you just recommend peeling it, steeping it in some water?
With a ginger root that you buy downtown, buy at a supermarket, just to scrub it a little bit with a little vegetable brush, and it doesn't have to be peeled, and just cut off about 1/2 inch. Boil it in water boil it gently, steep it, or not steep, but simmer for about 20 minutes and you'll get the ginger. Or you can simply grind it up with your morning fruit smoothie if you'd like. Was there another question? Yes, you can get if it's fresh. The fresh dried ginger is also effective, and you can use that. 1/2 teaspoonful to 1 teaspoonful is the dosage. All right.
1/2 teaspoon to 1/4 teaspoon?
Uh-huh. Also for menstrual cramps, and also as a what else? If it's used for cramps, it's also good for what?
Muscle
relaxants. Kava has 2 pain relievers that are at least as good as aspirin. That's kava. And kava has been classified as a narcotic, but I dispute that because kava is not stupefying and it is not addictive. So it's, if it doesn't have either one of those 2 qualities, I don't call it a narcotic. You can take that as a tea, kava. That's 1 teaspoonful to 1 cup. Now, how do you know whether you should steep or boil or use just as it is and an herb? You steep it if it's leaves or silks or petals. You boil it if it's any other part of the plant, the root, the stem, the berry, but leaves, flowers, silks, or leaves, and petals, and silks are just steep. Kava. K-A-V-A. Kava. It's an herb.
Not to be confused
with
the instant coffee
we
call kava.
Oh, okay.
I noticed when I was walking down the aisle, I had one that's called kava.
No, it's not that one, I'm sure. Red clover is, oh, I think I mentioned that to you. Squaw vine. Squaw vine got its name from the American Indians, and it was, the word squaw might be just a little bit derogatory, but I can tell you that the squaw vine is a very dignified herb. Question?
Is there something
arthritis? Yes, the best thing, the question is about arthritis. Is there something for arthritis? And the answer is yes. The very best thing is white willow bark. And how do you make that? You can make it as a tea, or you can take it as tablets, capsules, or tinctures. Now here is squaw vine for treating breastfeeding problems, menstrual cramps, and for scabies. What is scabies? It's a little mite that give as intense itching as hives do, but without the sting that hives usually do. So squaw vine is a very good herb, and I like it very much. It's also useful for the discomforts of pregnancy and childbirth and the postpartum period. It's also good for nipple soreness.
Do you recommend pineapple, bromelain, arthritis?
Bromelain is good for arthritis. It is a digestive aid. It causes, it's an enzyme, and it softens things, just like for some people, eating fresh pineapple will cause a softening of the inside of the mouth. And after they've had a couple of slices of fresh pineapple, they wish they hadn't had more. Or they're glad they didn't have more and wish they hadn't had that last slice also, because it makes the inside of the mouth raw, because it simply digests. It doesn't do that with everybody. And we don't know exactly, I don't know why. Somebody may know, but I don't know. Squaw vine is one of the best of the women's herbs. So don't sell it short. You can use it for a lot of things. Good for breastfeeding problems. It's good for discomforts of pregnancy. Strawberry leaf. Now, where do you get strawberry leaves? From your own garden. That's perfectly fine. Get a handful. And the rule about how much of the fresh to use is 5 times the amount of the dry. So if you use a tablespoonful of the dry, then you'd use actually a little handful. And since strawberry leaves are non-toxic, just go out and gather some strawberry leaves from your garden and steep them for the young lady who has a problem with a painful menstruation. Now, strawberry leaves also have a strong anti-cancer effect. Very small amount, but it is very, very strong anti-cancer effect. Has ellagic acid in it. Strawberry leaves do. Ellagic acid is good for the gout, which is another form of arthritis, and very likely would be good for any kind of arthritis. Just take a handful of leaves and boil some water fresh. Put the leaves in a bowl and pour the freshly boiled water, still almost boiled. You just take it off when it's boiling and just pour it on and cover it and let it stay for 30 minutes. That's steeping. Yes. And that's good. That ellagic acid is good for arthritis, but that it's also good for our menstrual problems. If your husband's going to drink it, give it to him too.
No, I mean, if he won't drink it, can I get it as something else, just as a liquid, or is it
sure? No, it can. You can dress it up in any way and give it to him. Okay, yarrow is another one, and yarrow has a number of antispasmodics in it, and that's one reason why I use it in a bath. If I'm giving a tub bath for almost any reason, I'll put some yarrow or some magnesium sulfate or Epsom salt in the bath water so that it can be properly. Sorry? Yes, probably most of these are. I didn't actually check it, but probably most of these are. And the next one is flaxseed. Flaxseed is an excellent antioxidant and an excellent anti-inflammatory agent. And flaxseed is also good for endometriosis. Very, very good for that. Okay, so morning sickness herbs right quick, and I'm just going to read these quickly. Ginger, peppermint, black horehound, citrus, kiwi, pineapple, mint, ginger puree, cabbage. My favorite one is peach tree leaves. And if it's in the summertime when you can get peach tree leaves, just go out, gather a double handful of fresh peach tree leaves, put it in half a gallon of water, boil it gently for about 5 minutes, strain it, put it in the refrigerator, and give her a tablespoonful of it anytime she even thinks she's going to get the morning sickness. Red raspberry leaf is also very good. Now some men's herbs. I want to leave a little bit of time for you to ask some questions, although you're asking questions now, and that's good. Peach tree leaves is for morning sickness for women, pregnant women. You can just pick a double handful in a half gallon of water, simmer it gently for about 5 minutes, and then strain it. And if you see that it's not extracting in 5 minutes, simmer it for another 10 minutes maybe. You will not damage the active ingredient by simmering for longer. And then a dosage is a tablespoonful anytime she feels she needs it. Now let's go to some men's herbs. Saw palmetto is first on the list. If he has a prostate problem, if he has any kind of seal, like a spermatoseal or a one of these little seals, one of these little cysts that come on the vas deferens, any of those can be treated with saw palmetto. All sorts of prostatic problems, prostatitis, enlarged prostate, cancer of the prostate. That's saw palmetto. Saw palmetto. Mm-hmm. Same one that I told you about for women's. But it's the number one herb that we think of when a man has any kind of problem related to sexual function. Buku. B-U-C-H-U, that's a diuretic herb. But it's also very good for the genitourinary tract in men.
What was that?
That's Buku. B-U-C-H-U. Then anise, black cohosh. If anybody has a jump drive, you're more than welcome to have my program on this. I'm happy to have you. I won't charge you a penny. And besides that, I want you to copy it and give it out to people. Put your name on it, your telephone number, so they'll call you when you... Black cohosh, licorice, anise. Kudzu root, ginkgo, ginseng, primrose oil, sage, wild yam. There are a lot of them. A lot of these for men.
Can you use any part of the kudzu?
Any part. You can use the leaf, the stem, or the root. And the best, the most potent part is the root. It takes a little doing to get it up. And please come to my woods, and I've got some. I'd like you to dig them up, please. Okay, now for erectile dysfunction, fava bean sprouts. Now, I showed you some fava beans the other day. Those are the big, broad beans. Health food stores carry these, fava beans. Velvet beans, F-A-V-A, F-A-V-A, fava, fava beans. Velvet beans. Now, you may not know what those are, but farmers do if they raise cattle. Velvet beans are a little velvet, have a little velvety shell, and they're sort of a little round bean. Yohimbe. Now, that one, you need to know that yohimbe does have side effects of anxiety. So if you have a man who's already a little anxious, you probably wouldn't want to use that one. Anise, cardamom. You know cardamom? That's good for erectile dysfunction. That can be put in breads. It can also be put in, has a nice flavor, sort of spicy type flavor. Can be put in smoothies. Can be put in stews. Cardamom. Okay. Now, I know that I've gone over some of these rather quickly, but I hope you had a chance to get them. If not, by all means, bring me a jump drive or give your name and address to Sister Vilma Myers and ask for a CD and tell her what you want the CD of, because if you just say, please send me Dr. Thrash's program, which one of the 400 or 500 is she going to send you? So you need to tell her. Men and women's diseases, and if you mentioned that it was one of the programs I did at camp meeting, that will help her to identify the one.
It might be easier for me to email it to them because it's not a big file.
Yeah, it's not a big file. Okay, now the questions. Yes, sir.
The morning sickness, you gave a number of herbs.
Yes.
What is your first line of herbs?
My very favorite herb for morning sickness is a double handful of fresh peach tree leaves. Fresh peach tree leaves. Just go out to a peach tree, and just pull some fresh leaves. And double handful, put them in 1/2 gallon of water. Simmer them gently for about 5 to 15 minutes. The dosage is a tablespoonful of the tea. Keep it in the refrigerator because it will spoil if you leave it out for several days. It'll take it a day and a half to spoil, but it will spoil. She takes a tablespoonful every time she even thinks, I might be sick, or I might be going to get sick, or smelling the food that's cooking is making me sick. Take it then. Take a tablespoonful. Yes.
I love mint.
Mint.
I love now, I
use it.
A mint plant growing inside
mint.
The fire. It's doing real good.
Good.
My question is, to make a tea out of the leaves, how can I get the most of it? Is it good all year long?
Good all year long. If as long as it's green, you can use it. Just go out and take several of the sprigs, put them in a cup or put them in hot water, brew them lightly.
I can just put the leaves in a blender too?
You can put the leaves in a blender. Don't put too many. You can overpower your smoothie. But, yes.
What is lemon verbena?
Lemon verbena has an anti-fever. It's good for fevers and good for headaches. And it has some other uses, but I'm not familiar with more. Yes, lemon balm is my very favorite beverage tea. And it is also good for fevers. Yes.
You said it's not good to use ginger every day?
It's not good as a culinary herb, just, you know, gingerbread and other ginger things and ginger candies and ginger sugars and all these kinds of things. Not good for that. Save it as a medicine. It's a medicine. Now, just because it's a medicine doesn't mean that you've got to make it taste bad. You can go ahead and put it in your smoothie if you like.
Make
stir fries. I'm sure that would be fine. I don't know whether that would damage frying. I'm sure would not be helpful for the properties of the herb. One more question, and then we'll dismiss.
The strawberry leaf said was good for the gout. Is that as a preventive or a treatment?
Both. Yeah, it will help to prevent it, but it also is it's the ellagic acid in the strawberry leaves that are helpful. So that's good for any kind of arthritis as well. Blueberry leaf, like bilberry leaf, is good for the vision. It's also good for the urinary tract. Good for women's and men's diseases both. Yes, you can make it into a tea. Leaves, the roots are the most helpful, most medicinally active part, the roots are. And eat the berries. Yeah, the berries are excellent.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.